Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. Zondervan.com. The NIV and New International Version are trademarks registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office by Biblica Inc. Scripture quotations marked NET are from the NET Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. This week, the message is titled, Forgive. Thank you, Don, Rhonda, and Jeff for being part of the service. The scripture reading is Psalm 25, 1-11 from the New English Translation. O Lord, I come before you in prayer. My God, I trust in you. Please do not let me be humiliated. Do not let my enemies triumphantly rejoice over me. Certainly none who rely on you will be humiliated. Those who deal in treachery will be thwarted and humiliated. Make me understand your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me into your truth and teach me. For you are the God who delivers me. On you I rely all day long. Remember your compassionate and faithful deeds, O Lord, for you have always acted in this manner. Do not hold against me the sins of my youth or my rebellious acts. Because you are faithful to me, extend to me your favor, O Lord. The Lord is both kind and fair. That is why he teaches sinners the right way to live. May he show the humble what is right. May he teach the humble his way. The Lord always proves faithful and reliable to those who follow the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your reputation, O Lord, forgive my sin, because it is great.
Good morning and welcome, and a special welcome to all of you who are listening online this morning. We're so happy that you're here with us, maybe not in body, but in spirit, and thank you so much for being here. We have some announcements this morning, and then I'll carry on from there, I think. Okay, so happy birthday to Grant, still in hospital, so his birthday's maybe not as happy as it would be normally, so keep him in your thoughts, in your prayers, and otherwise. And happy birthday to our little Charlotte. We've gone through several birthdays in our family since COVID started, and she kept saying, the good thing about me is my birthday's in November, and it'll be over by then, so... That didn't turn out to be the good thing about her, so she's having a little bit of disappointment, just like all the rest of the grandchildren had for their birthdays. So, and Ruby is starting chemo. She has cancer. If you've never heard of that kind of cancer, don't look it up. It's pretty depressing. So I looked it up this morning. It's pretty bad. I mean, I don't know that she's got it pretty bad, but it's not a nice kind of cancer to have. Let us start with the prayer, and let's consider while we pray who we are. We're people who love God, love each other, and love the world. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to worship, even in these challenging times, and thank you for the ability that we have to still be united united to you through worship, and even though we can't all be here in body, we can still worship because of the technology that we have in this modern day. And thank you, God, for the opportunities that we still have to be connected. That it's not like the virus of 1918. We've all got telephones, and we've got ways of communicating with each other, and God, help us to always remain close to each other, even in these challenging times, and to be sensitive to the needs of those in our midst who have challenges. And thank you, God, for all the opportunities we have to serve others and to help the people in our community, and help us to be sensitive to that. God, especially be with our children, and they're in this time when they're not here on a regular basis. and be with Ruby. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rhonda, for putting into words how we all feel. Today I want to talk about the blessings and the eternal consequences of forgiveness. Here's what Jesus says. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Great. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It is eternally consequential to not forgive others. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of committing a sin and asking for forgiveness and then receiving forgiveness. Yet, whenever a person sees you, and even though they may not have seen you for a long time, but whenever they do see you, all they want to talk about is the sin that you had committed, even though it was forgiven and it happened years ago. All they want to talk about is the sin that you had committed. It's as if they're holding you ransom. You wonder if there was any forgiveness at all. It's amazing to me that in the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament books are written by Saul, who of course is the Apostle Paul. And it never says anything about it. He talks about forgiveness, and he certainly was forgiven. But in my mind, I picture, because Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, that maybe in Jerusalem, or maybe in one of the churches in the province of Galatia, or maybe it was Ephesus, or maybe it was Philippi, and it's announced, the Apostle Paul is going to be preaching here next Sunday. How excited. And yet there are some who walk out of the building in tears. Because it was Saul who maybe gathered up your aunt, your uncle, your father, your brother, your sister, and carted them off to jail before Paul was a Christian, and gave the thumbs up, not only for them to be in jail, but for them to be executed. And he gives the thumbs up for their execution. And now it's announced that that same person is going to come to the church and preach. How would you feel? Forgiveness is a powerful, powerful blessing. But it's not easy. And there are consequences involved. But it is an absolute must to understand the heart of our God. To forgive. And forgiveness is sometimes as easy as can be. When our grandchildren do something harmful, or they say something they shouldn't say, or they hurt somebody, We pick them up and love them and hug them and say, no, we're going to do better than this. And it's easy and it's good. But somehow when we get older, we don't do that. And it's this blessing, this powerful blessing called forgiveness. Some of you recognize the name Donald Miller. He wrote an amazing book a number of years ago called Blue Like Jazz. Anybody remember that book? It's a powerful, powerful book. It's a wonderful book. He's very humorous. He's very kind. He's a very educated man. And he tells the true story of being on campus in Portland, Oregon, and he set up a tent outside of the university. And he put a sign in front of the tent, confessional, everyone welcome. And so some of the university students who had somewhat of a religious background thought, well, that's pretty interesting. And so some of them would come into the tent and begin to confess their sins to Donald Miller. And as soon as they started to confess their sins, he stopped them. Said, no. No, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear any of your confessions. And they said, well, why? It says confessional. They said, no. That's not what this is about. It's not about you coming in to confess your sins. It's about me as a minister of a church and being part of several churches over the years. I want to ask you to forgive us for the sins that we have committed against you over all these generations. Forgiveness is for everyone, in the giving and in the receiving. No matter who we are, no matter how many years have gone past, forgiveness is a blessing of God. It is a cleansing that can set us free. Hear the word of the Lord. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, here are these words. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. It's almost like the greater the sin, the greater the mercy. The greater the sadness, the greater the joy. The greater the lack of forgiveness, to forgiveness is so powerful. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. And you will again and again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot. Thank the Lord. And you will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. They are gone, never to come back. How much did it cost him? How much did it cost God to forgive? And all we have to do is go to the cross, but not just the cross. All we have to do is look at all the injustices, the sadnesses, the hurt and the terror, and the lack of forgiveness, and the horror that so many people go through. And yet, it is Jesus who says, if you want to change the world, forgive. Sometimes the most difficult person to forgive is yourself. But we can't let people take us for ransom. Now, maybe I've given you enough time, and I don't mean to be maudlin about this at all. But do you ever have a person in your life that you don't see very often? But when you do see them, all they want to talk about is the sin that you had committed years ago. Long forgiven, but somehow they just want to hold you up because of sin. And so I want to reread these powerful words spoken by Jesus. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So please, forgive. It is a blessing. Allow yourself those shackles that have bound you over the years to let them go. And yes, one of the most difficult things in forgiveness is to forgive yourself. But if God forgives you, it's behooving that we forgive ourselves as well as others. I wrote this, I don't know if it was several weeks ago or not, I can't quite remember. For some reason, it just came to my mind. I don't take any credit for it, except I think God sometimes just puts some words in my mouth. It's nothing profound at all, but it's been helpful to me, and if it helps you, then that's good. It's called The Blessings of Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a great gift from God. If we don't forgive others who have deeply hurt us, we won't be forgiven when we hurt others. In our forgiveness, we are set free, even if others may wish to keep us in an emotional prison. God does not. If you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. It's important how we live. It's important what we say. It's important how we think and what we think. To be forgiven sets us free, and then this is difficult. But we must allow ourselves to be forgiven. And if God forgives us, who in the world are we not to forgive others, even if it's ourselves? So I wrote down a couple of scriptures that I wanted to read with you. They're all throughout Scripture. I didn't use all of them, but I want to just read to you, and this lesson is rather brief, but I want to just read to you some of these scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament alike, reminding us that it's God's nature to forgive us. You and I were created in the image of God. You and I were created in the nature of God. If it's God's nature, if it's God's image to forgive, then it's important that we forgive. Amen? So hear the word of the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And if God has removed those transgressions, who are we to put them back again? Isaiah, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Or God says in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43, I am he who blots out your transgressions, listen to this, for my sake, and remembers your sins no more. God forgives because it's who he is. For my sake, I forgive you because I can't help it. It's my nature. I love my children. Daniel, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Or in Mark, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, if I hold anything against anyone, I mean, that person's a scoundrel. That person really hurt me. That person hurt my loved ones. Forgive anyone? And if you stand praying, and if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. It is eternally consequential to be an expert in forgiveness. Acts 3. Repent, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing. The times of refreshing. The times of refreshing may come. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins don't exist. They're wiped out. And that the refreshing of God washes you clean. Or in Ephesians 1, in Christ we have redemption, forgiveness, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Or a real practical one, not always easy, Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And then this last scripture, in 1 John. John, a person who loves light and love. And someone asked, well, why would you say that? Just read John. Read the Gospel of John. Read the epistles of John. How often he uses the word light, love, even in the midst of difficult times. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth, it's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness means forgiveness. It doesn't mean we put you on trial and see if you really have forgiven. God says, you are my child. I created you to live in a certain way. And I've put God's Holy Spirit in you. You know when you're not close to me. You know when you've stepped outside of my will. You know when you've said something that hurt people. You know what it is to not be in full fellowship with God. But forgiveness is what we've often done to our children and grandchildren. We pick them up, we hug them, we love them, we kiss them, we wipe their tears away, and we remind them, you are my loved one. That's what God says and feels about us. Forgive.
Don chose to talk today about forgiveness. This table that Jesus laid out is all about forgiveness. In the psalm that he had posted, we read, and Don spoke to this, "For the sake of your reputation, O Lord, forgive my sin, because it is great." At that Last Supper, Jesus understood exactly what was going to happen. He understood that one of the 12 was going to betray him into the hands of the religious leaders. And about Peter, he foretold that three times Peter would deny he even knew him. And he knew that a world of sinners, including us, was sending him to a cruel death. Yet he was willing to do exactly what his father asked of him. For the sake of your reputation, for the sake of his father's reputation, Jesus was willing to go through with what he did. John recalls it like this: "Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me.' And we read that they all wondered who it might be. Yet Jesus still shared a meal and dipped his bread with Judas, offering him one more chance to repent." John goes on, "Peter asked, 'Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.' Then Jesus answered, 'Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.'" In a few days, Jesus will call on Peter to find courage he didn't even know he had to feed his sheep. And to the greater group of the disciples and to us, Jesus responds at this most difficult time with words of comfort. He knows they're all going to abandon him at his hour of greatest need. But John quotes Jesus as saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And just as the first song we had today said, "My Father's place is in a house with you. I'm going there to get it ready for you. And my Father wants nothing more than to receive you home." We break this bread today to remember that he willingly put himself in our place. Truly, our bread of life that came down from heaven to purchase us a home with his Father. And just as it said, and just as Don pointed out to us, that is God's nature. He couldn't let us be separated from him, so he asked his Son to do it for him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Son of your love, who, though he was betrayed by his closest friends and betrayed by us, Father, he willingly took it upon himself to hang on that cross. And we rejoice in the fact, Father, that you did not leave him there, but rather raised him to newness of life. We thank you for this bread from heaven. And as we break it now, Father, we remember and we thank you for his great gift. Amen. John also records this from that supper. Jesus saying, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So as we drink this cup, we remember that we are forgiven, washed clean to live a life of joy and peace because his blood overcame sin. Let's go to God in prayer again. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of the new covenant. We thank you that we are washed clean because of his great gift. And Father, help us to live lives of celebration and joy in peace, knowing that we do indeed have a home with you because of his great gift. In him we pray, amen.
Me if before I pray, I tell you a story. Those of you who are part of this congregation have watched me come back and forth and back and forth for probably, I think it's been 4 years now, bringing guide dogs to church with me, bring puppies to church, and they're guide dogs in training, and you've all been very tolerant because while they're in training, some of you have been jumped on, some of you have been licked, some of you, Don even had one of them stand there and look right at him and bark and sit as if saying, okay, this sermon's gone on long enough, I'm done. But anyway, our last puppy, Parade, who Val always says, why would they name a dog Parade every time she sees him? She saw her. Parade graduated this week. So on Friday, we had a virtual graduation, which was absolutely lovely. And the woman who got Parade is a woman who is in a wheelchair. She's a woman who has a lot of falls and has some problems, and her husband has to stay at her side. Well, she told us that, like, Parade's been with her now for a couple of weeks, I think, is my impression. But she told us that Parade has already rescued her 3 times when she fell, because when she falls, Parade barks and barks and barks until she gets help, and then will stop barking, and that's happened 3 times. And she said Parade has been doing the laundry, which is nice. She puts the clothes in the washing machine. She takes the clothes out of the washing machine, puts them in the dryer, and takes them out. And the woman is saying, she said, now I'm trying to train her to fold the laundry, but so far no luck. So anyway, I'm saying all that to say thank you, because you've all been very tolerant and you've all been very encouraging to to me as I have worked with these puppies, and it's good to see them go on and do wonderful things, and you've been part of that, so I thought maybe I would share that story with all of you, because it's been a good experience to have two of them now graduate, and so that's great. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for your love, and God, will you please abide with us this week, and may we abide with you, and may we be a people of love, a people of joy, a people of peace, and even more so, a people of hope. And God, help us this week to find opportunities to be of service to you in our church community and in our broader community, and to share your love and to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.